Thank the Father for the precious pastor. And you know, you can usually tell a pastor by his people. Did you know that also? Hallelujah. You know, eventually they're going to tell Jesus by us. Hallelujah. And I appreciate all of you here. I appreciate the fellowship that you have. I appreciate the Spirit of God. Because after all, that's what we're about. We're about a people that come into His presence. Hallelujah. And whatever comes out of that He is what we're after. And I've heard a lot of good things this morning, you know, and we all know that we're in a place of great change. And we've been in that. We've been saying that for years. My wife says, "You're always saying that." I said, "Well, it's true." See, it's an ever fresh and living way, a new way, meaning it's ever present, available to us. And we're a very fortunate people because we've come to a place where we begin to understand that God is so much bigger. Oh, we may have said this in the past, getting glimpse of it. But you know, as the day dawns, that sun begins to rise. Automatically, it begins to shed forth its light. The more that it rises, the more it encompasses. Hallelujah. And what is happening today is that the presence of the Lord is rising within us, and it is causing us to comprehend more of what He is. See, it's interesting. God's interesting, isn't He? And I'll get to my message, I guess, but the thing of it is that we're in a unique position in God because we're not here. We all know we're not here by accident, but we are here by design and purpose. And I don't know that we could appreciate it in a manner that we're coming to appreciate now. Because as I said, as that light begins to, that sun begins to shine, we begin to get a greater comprehension, a greater awareness of what He is. And I assure you, in that respect, we are going to change. We have been changing. Let's see, when is this going to stop? Well, it's not going to stop. There's going to be an unfolding, a continuation of that change. Hallelujah. I want to get into the message this morning. Ezekiel chapter 20. We all very much familiar with this scripture, but I just want to read. Let's see. 22, excuse me. Ezekiel 22. And verse 30, I just want to read the very first sentence of that. It says, "And I sought for a man." Now we know the connotation of that in reference of where he speaks, that there's a problem and nobody's here to solve it. Hallelujah. But he says, "I sought for a man." And it says among them, but you see, it's interesting how God says things. Apparently, there's a lot of people around. And apparently, that one He's looking for is among them. So, but He's looking not just for anyone. He's looking for a particular man that has particular qualities. Not just any man. This is not a day just to go along with the crowd. This is not a day just to be content to be where you are as a people gathered together. It's a day of a stirring, and because it's a day of change. And I guarantee you, if he hasn't, he will touch you to the very core of your being and make you uncomfortable where you are, because we have very much in us an availability to be comfortable where we are. See, when we get it all learned, when we gather all the information that we need, we think we've heard all that we need to hear, we have a tendency to get just settled. But God is not a God that is settling for anything. He said, I'm looking among you now, and I'm looking for a particular man that has a particular quality who is not comfortable. Hallelujah. Now I want to go to Genesis. Hallelujah. And you know, Paul said about Timothy, he said, listen, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. This is the kind of man that God is looking for. Interesting, Paul said that. That was a bold statement, man. I imagine he offended people. Listen, y'all are great, you know, but look at him. He's got something going on. He stands out among the crowd. That's who I'm looking for. I'm looking for one who will stand out because he's standing up. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. He's standing up because he's in an awareness of something that's ready to take place. Hallelujah. He says in Genesis, hallelujah, Genesis chapter 38. And I'll do a little prefacing of this message because this is a very odd situation here. God was telling a story about Joseph, and we all know the story of Joseph. And it ends up that it got to the point where that Joseph was in the pit. They took him out of the pit and they sold him to the Ishmaelites. But then he stops right there. Now, I want to ask you something. If I came up to you and started talking to you and telling you about this story, and I stopped right in the midst and started another story, what would you think? But that's exactly what God did. Why? Well, the story that he had initially was about Joseph. And Joseph was, as Joseph said, he had all the stuff in this story leading up to this point to begin this other story. That he had a dream, and he was somebody, and his family was going to bow down to him and all that, and he couldn't just contain himself. He had to share that story. The calling of God does that. It makes you stupid. You don't comprehend in a little bit about what's going on. You just got a whole lot of woof about you, you know, and you just want to woof around and tell everybody and just shout, you know, you get saved and you want to tell everybody to get saved. And you want to get filled with the Holy Spirit, you want to tell everybody to get filled with the Spirit. You got a deeper revelation, you want to tell everybody your revelation. It's just the way we are. You know, so Joseph was no different. He was just, God's using this story to tell us something. He says, I've got a call on this man's life and what's going on in this boy's life, I should say. And he's going to do something. But God is so emphatic about wanting to tell a story about Joseph, he could not contain himself. He had to interrupt himself and begin another story. You ever do that? You ever be talking and you're going along and all of a sudden something's come to you and you go right into that? tells me you get excited about something. God's excited about what his plan was, that he had initiated with Joseph. He said, I'm not going to wait to the end. I got to jump in here right now and give you a greater explanation of what's really going on. I want to give you a better picture. It's like unrolling a blueprint for a house. You see the foundation, you see the whole foundation of plan and all that, and you see everything about what the elevation, the different elevations of what the house looks like and so forth. But all of a sudden you take a look over here, there's a detail of this particular aspect. That's what this is. This story that we're going to go into in 38 is a detailed picture about what 37 was about. Hallelujah. So, and we're starting with that, we're starting in verse 1. And it says in 38:1, it says, and it came to pass at that time. What? It came to pass at what time? At the time that God was explaining or unfolding his intention to deliver Israel, to save Israel, to preserve Israel. It came at that time, but it came to pass that, and I'm not reading, I just introduced that because it says it came to pass. It says, God just jumped ahead and said, listen, this is what I want to show you. He said, and it came to pass at that time, Judah went down from his brethren and turned into the Adullamite, whose name was Hirah. And now from that, we're going to go. I'm going to skip a whole lot of this stuff here. If you want to read it, you can read it. I can sum it up real quick because it's about Tamar, who was Judah's son-in-law, Judah's son, his firstborn, name was Ur, said he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord killed him. And Tamar was his wife. And you all know the story. And it goes on to say, well, the second one was taking the place, because you see, there's a law of operation that God wants us to understand. He says, I'm showing you this story because in this story is what I'm trying to get to. This story is about a kinsman redeemer. We all know the story about the kinsman redeemer. And so it was put upon the second born son to raise up seed to his brother. And that's the job of the kinsman. You hear me? The job of the kinsman is to raise up a seed. So the second one, well, he didn't cooperate that. He said, I don't want to do that. He said, that won't be my son, or that won't be mine. He said, so he just didn't fulfill the obligation that he had. So it displeased the Lord, and the Lord killed him. That's what it says. But we want to go to verse 27. And it starts with the same thing that verse 1 said, and it came to pass. And it says it here in 27. And it came to pass in the time of her travail that, behold, twins were in her womb. And I want to submit to you that God has shown us a picture. And I want to submit to you that these twins that were in his womb, and I don't want to go into theological junk and stuff. I'm just talking about stuff. What I see here is that these twins are both Adam and Christ. That's who they are. And as we get into it, you'll see it, that these twins. And it says, it came to pass when that twins were in a womb, and it came to pass, 28, when she travailed, that one, I must have left something out here. No, I didn't. Twins were in the womb, and it came to pass when she travailed that one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound his hand with a scarlet thread, and saying, this came out first. Now here, a dramatic picture of what God is trying to say. This hand came out first. And what did the midwife do? And you look up that midwife, and it refers to God. saying that God is involved, totally has already planned it from the beginning, this plan of redemption. The hand coming forth is God waving, hey, guess what? I've got a plan. And this is my plan. I put this around your hand. My plan is to redeem humanity. No question about it. And that's why the midwife said, this one came first. Before there ever was anything that man ventured into, God had already had the ministry in place to redeem. But then it pulls back. And the other one comes forth. Hallelujah. God is showing us that I have redemption in place, but I also have one who's coming forth, who's going to be walking out what this plan is about. People don't know, the world does not know that they're here to be redeemed. We haven't fully realized, but we're in, I believe that we're in a season. Now God's speaking to me about this, that we're in a season. You know, we go through seasons. But to me, he's emphatically speaking that we're in a season of a redemptive principle that is beginning to work within us, that's going to begin to affect creation. Oh, yeah, what we have looked for, you see, judgment, as Rich, we're talking about that scripture there. Judgment returns unto righteousness. See, it was inevitable that law we discussed in Sunday school, that law was in place, and all it did was it just simply brought up people to the realization that they couldn't. You see, they couldn't keep the law because after all, you see what they did, they really actually chose that law for themselves. They chose it. They wanted God as a principle, but they didn't want a relationship with him. But God says, I've got a plan. I've got a plan of redemption that's going to come through relationship, that's going to cause a people to come. I'm telling you this morning that God's purpose of redemption is going to begin to work in us, and we're going to find ourselves reaching out to humanity in a way that we've never... Clyde, I heard you saying, this country, we're in bad shape. And we all know this, all this stuff that goes on, as you were talking about the internet and everything like that, that the young people are so in bondage to. You see, everything that man does outside of this redemptive plan, all it does is bring into bondage. But God says there's a time, and this time is now, we're in that season, that God is working this redemptive plan. Everybody wave. See, because God's waving at us. You know, he's waving at us because he wants a response. You see, he's looking for a man, and he's doing like this. He's looking for a man, and he's going like this. He wants a response. But most people don't know what's going on. Why is he waving? Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, verse 29, and it came to pass as he drew back his hand, that behold, now you would know this is prophetic. Yeah. This is God telling us a story. Right in the midst of a story. Trying to get to us, across to us, the point of what he's trying to say, because it's utmost in his mind. Hallelujah. We've heard a lot about who we are. You know, a lot about our identity. We've heard a lot of different things. But there's something that's taking place today that's going to enable us to get out of our mind and into the heart. Judgment, which comes from here, will return to righteousness. Hallelujah. There's a righteousness, as Romans 3 says, there's a righteousness that is borne witness to by the law and the prophets that is now being revealed. Hallelujah. See, I believe that we're going to enter into such a realization of what God is saying, that we're just simply not trying to hold it in our minds, but allow that to flow forth out of our heart. Hallelujah. It began to work in a way that we can't help it. Brother Oscar talking about, Lord, give me a word there before we started about the Lord opening doors. I want to say this. We're in a place where we're not going to count our life as our own. Meaning this, that we're going to get involved with the presence of God right here. And when we find that in God, there's a redemptive principle that will just simply redeem man to himself. You know, redemption, there's two things that are alike in the scripture. That's jubilee and that's redemption. They're alike in that they produce the same result, only they don't happen at the same time. Jubilee, you have to wait. Redemption, you don't. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait because someone is present and bringing you back to where you should be. It's bringing you back to your inheritance. I believe as we begin to walk in this redemptive principle, everything that is ours begins, we begin to realize it. But it's a funny thing about everything that is ours. It becomes everyone else's. Amen. That redemptive principle will cause you to lay down your life so that you won't go about your day walking as you have walked in times past, because you walk motivated by the spirit of that redemptive principle that is within you. See, that God could not help himself. If you let God be God, he'll be God in you and through you. And they, people will see that, and they will see that redemptive principle, and they, you will be approachable. And you'll find yourself, I don't care if you're backward, shy, or whatever you are, you will begin to not contemplate what people are going to think about you or what will happen if I say this or that. You're just going to find yourself doing it. You'll begin to find yourself reaching out to people because there's a door that has been opened. And, you know, if you walk through a door, I may be walking through a door, but, you know, there may be somebody behind me, and I'll go ahead. We're going to find that we're going to open doors for people. We're going to find that creation, we're not talking about the future. I believe what we're in that season right now. It's in a season of an adjustment that's going to allow us to fully engage ourselves in the presence of God and what he is within us. And when we find that we do that, we'll find that that principle of redemption begins to operate. Man, we're just so full of that love. We're just so full of that love that we want to reach humanity, because God could not restrain himself. He had to interrupt a story to tell this story to get his point across, because he's about redemption. He's about people. He loves creation. All of what we're going to do, try to fix this and try to fix that and try to, you go ahead and do that if God called you to that, but I want to tell you this, there's something that is higher. And that higher expression of what he is will redeem every situation, every condition. If you'll just walk today in what God is saying in your heart, if you'll just apply yourself to give your attention to all that he is within you, you will begin to see things happen that you would not even consider, that you would not even believe. You find yourself doing things that only God would do. We know of a truth that God is in you, because the things that you do, no one can do except God be with him. Hallelujah. Yeah. So, God's emphatic about it. When we touch the Spirit of God today, you're going to get out of yourself. And when you do that, you get out of your limitations. You get out of your preconceived ideas. You get out of all your excuses and all your reasonings and all your imaginations and all the things that we deal with, man. You see, but this is a time of great change. We've talked about that. We've known that. We've known it for years. But we're in a place now. We're in a season now. That is, there's an available to us what God is. He wants to be greater to us than he's ever been before. And it's not for us. It's for creation. Why do you think all this stuff is happening? I find it very interesting. The president addresses it, this gun stuff, as mental illness. Well, we're all insane. We're all a little insane. See? Because that mind was never made to be the master. It was made to be the servant. See, and that's the problem that the disciples had, wasn't it? They said, well, who's going to be the greatest? See? And Jesus heard them and said, okay, guys, now look. I know this is going to be hard on you. I know this goes across your thinking. I know this is the way that most people think, but it's not so among you. It won't be so among you, because it doesn't matter. Makes no difference. Because the only thing that makes a difference is he that is greatest among you will be your servant. Because by love, we will serve one another. Love won't let me sit down, stay at home, and do what I want. Love won't let me just go about my business every day like I always done. Love won't let me do that. Talk about correction, Rich, in Sunday school. Correction. Whom the Lord loveth. Whom the Lord loveth. He loves us enough to straighten us out. Because we're thinking differently from him. We don't understand we have not appreciated the value of our life. I'm not minimizing what we have. I say that, you know, with tongue in cheek, because we're all seeking God in where we are and what we know to do. To seek God. Well, I'm not finding fault with that at all. I'm just saying there's something that God is going to challenge us. Amen. He's going to challenge us because we get comfortable. We get comfortable bringing God down to our level. We think we can put him in a package deal and it will work that way. See? So we put him in this package and that package and that package. And that. God says no. There ain't no way you're going to put me in a package and put a postage on me and send me somewhere. I'm everywhere present. I've always been, and I want everybody to know that. Hallelujah. But how's they going to know it? They're going to know it through us. We're in a time of great change. And we are in a season of that change. And that season is that when we begin to realize and appreciate who we are as God sees us, we begin to operate as that man that he's looking for. I looked among them to find one who have the qualities that I'm looking for. And that qualities is what I am. Hallelujah. When God becomes bigger than we are, He'll become that to others. But if we keep containing Him, we limit Him.
Yes.
And we suffer because of that. We suffer physically, we suffer mentally, we suffer spiritually. You cannot reject that living, vital principle of what God is. Because we were made to receive all that He is.
Amen.
That's His plan. His redeeming plan. See, I'm redeemed when I come into His presence. And it's funny, isn't it? We talked about the peace, Rich. The peace that passes all understanding. When you think about that, that's just amazing. The peace that passes all your understanding. Everything that you've accumulated to this point, it supersedes it. Hallelujah. You rest. You relax. That scripture of Psalms 46, verse 10, I think it is. It says, "Be still." We all know it well. "Be still and know that I am God." That word "be still" there is to let go. Let go. Why? Because what you're holding on to is standing in your way. And you, see, what we do this so very well. We've been trained in this. We deal with people as we know them to be. We deal with situations as we know them to be. And what we do is we operate from here. God's saying, "I'm changing the course." Begin to operate and appreciate and value who you are in me. And when you do, you'll begin to accomplish those things that I have placed within your heart. You want to know why things don't come to pass. You see, it's interesting, my dear. You shared about Phyllis, what's her name? Mm-hmm. I was thinking about it when you were sharing. When one goes through these things, she's not going through it for her alone. She's going through it for a whole lot of people. She's developing strength. God, that redemptive purpose is working forth, man. And you don't give up because you don't have the last word anyway. When we get the last word, we made up our mind. You hear me? We've made up our mind. When we listen to other people, I don't care how professional, how educated, or how smart they are. When we listen to them, we're joining together with them. We're agreeing with them in our minds with their mind. See? And we've totally skipped over what God is saying, what God's plan is, His redemptive purpose. We've not allowed that to take place. We've not to say, "Praise God, hallelujah." We're not a people of this world. We're a people of God. We take our information and our dedication comes from Him. And therefore, we're committed to Him. We understand that we're supposed to walk in Him. And we know that unless we walk in Him, there is no redemptive principle operating. There is no understanding that is given because I'm left without. But God says, "No, you're not left without. You've called to come into me because I have called you, chosen you, raised you up to be able to be that which I've called you to be. You've not valued nor appreciated who you are in me. You value other people's opinions." Hallelujah. Glory to God. My. Well, you know, God's looking for a man. Hallelujah. Not just any man, but a man who has a certain quality. He has the qualities of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to go, let's see, where we go? We're going back to, did I finish here? No, let's go on here and read on. Let's see, in verse chapter 38, verse 29, and it came to pass as he drew back his hand. God's showing us the ministry, and it's not yet time for the ministry. You hear me? But I want to tell you right now. I want to tell you right now. Now is the time for this ministry to come forth. We wonder what's happening. We wonder why we see the diminishing of churches and membership and all these things. We wonder why the things are taking place within the world. You think that is by accident? It's causing a people to come to a realization. God is raising up something within us for this day. See, you have so much available to you to reach humanity. And God is asking us to pay attention and to be aware and place the value on us. Remember what they did with Joseph? They put a value on him. Hallelujah. They only gave him 20 pieces of silver. How much did they give for Jesus? 30. Because it wasn't time to demonstrate. That's why it was only 20. It wasn't time to demonstrate the full redemptive principle. Only Jesus would say, I'll go. I know what you got in mind, Father. I know what it's about. I'll go. I'll be the Redeemer. I'll be that one to show this living, vital expression of that redemptive principle of which you are. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my head. No, it's in my heart. That law that is in our heart. He came to demonstrate that redemptive principle that did make no difference between anyone, but received everyone. Hallelujah. Didn't know anything about what they knew. He knew about what the Father was. He knew about what the Father said. He knew about how the Father thought. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So here we are. We're in. And it came to pass. That's the fourth. It came to pass in this chapter. And it came to pass doing what? Saying what? Why is he emphasizing that? He's trying to build your faith to make you realize it will come to pass. And he's doing it step by step to show us, to encourage us, to strengthen our faith, to help us to enter into what he's saying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, and that, behold, his brother came out, and she said, how hast thou broken forth? Hallelujah. Picture of Adam, isn't it? He broke forth from that realm that he was in into a realm of his own understanding. He walked in his own understanding. Hallelujah. That's all that we have left when we leave the presence of God. Hallelujah. So he came, and it said what? How hast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee. Therefore his name was called Perez, which means breach. See, God's looking for a man to correct a breach. But he gives us the promise before the breach ever happened that the plan is in place. Hallelujah. God's emphasizing that. The plan is in place. But it wasn't time then. But I want to say to you, for your consideration, we're in the time that it has come to pass. And you're going to find yourself loving God more than you ever have. And in so loving God, you're going to love your neighbor. And your neighbor is anyone who has need. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan, who proved neighbor to him, go and do likewise. Say, I just don't like those people. Those people are different from me. You know, and all the other judgment that needs to return to victory. Hallelujah. And that was the whole picture there, Rich. That judgment, all the law, all the do's and don'ts. I don't like that. I do like this. Hello? Hello? Are you guilty? Yes? All have sinned. Come short of the glory. Now it's time to grow up. Now it's time to leave this place of our understanding, of containing God in our understanding, thinking that we have some wisdom and so forth, because there's no substitute for God. God is not going to have a substitute. But what God is a redemptive principle. Hallelujah. And he's showing us there's a need for it. If there's ever been a need, as we've heard so many times, but it's true, because the need keeps getting greater, because the point keeps being pressed, because the challenge is set before us. What are you going to do about this? You're going to join the government and make it better? You're going to vote for this one over that one? I thank God for everything that's done. I thank God for doctors. But there's something more than doctors. I thank God, man. I thank God for medicine, man. I had a quadruple bypass over two years ago. And I'll tell you, I would not know what I would have done in my state and my understanding without that medication. When you have some need, you got to have your need met one way or the other. Hallelujah. So I thank God for all these things, but that's not the point. Why are we here? Why are we here right now? Do we understand that God has us in a season where he intends to activate this redemptive principle, and that is so much larger than filling a church, so much larger than people getting saved? God has deliverance in mind for all creation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you see, what did he say? Judgment must what? And judgment is unto victory. He was sharing there, Oscar sharing this morning about that. Well, what about this vengeance, the day of vengeance of our God? And he found out what he's taken vengeance on everything that has kept us from what he is. Hallelujah. We've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, how is thou broken forth? And afterwards came out his brother, verse 30, and that had the scarlet thread upon his hand. He had to tell us that, you know. And his name was Zerah, which simply means, you're like this if you don't know it, a dawning or a brightness. So let your light shine. Not as though we don't know these scriptures. There's a dawning that's bringing a greater awareness of what he is. And that light is not going to be contained, because it's going to keep on. Sun's going to keep on rising, and the light's going to keep on shining forth. And it's going to encompass everything there is. It's going to encompass all creation. Hallelujah. We're in that. We are in that time. Hallelujah. And let's go to, well, he picks up the story again. Isn't it strange? Here he is. He finished telling us about that, and he goes right back to Joseph in chapter 39. But we're not going there. We're going back to Ezekiel 22. Hallelujah. So what's it about? It's about a redemption and a breach. It's about a redemptive principle that is living and alive, and it's within God, and we're in God. And we come to the place where we begin to understand, appreciate, and value that which God is and what He is wanting to do through us. Hallelujah. So Ezekiel 22. And verse 30, I sought for a man among them. Hallelujah. That should make up the hedge. One translation says breach. One of them says gap. But we get the point. We're looking at the breach. It's in our face. It's in our face on the news and telling us everything, everywhere, what's going on. And we see the effects of the breach. We want to fix things. Be who you're supposed to be. Be who you're supposed to be. Do not make excuses. Stop living for yourself. Stop taking considerations for things that don't really mean a whole lot. Because the value, by doing that, we devalue what God is wanting to do. And we make things, we get challenged by things, they challenge us to enter into our mind and begin to have a participation in those things that man has always produced and has always caused that breach to be broader. It's time for a man to stand up. It's time for a man, it's time for me to heal the breach. Whatever. And everybody's participating in it. Believers included. It's time to heal the breach. And the only thing that will heal the breach is the qualities that you have in you that are God. Do we want to see change? Let us start changing. If we do the same things all the time, and I know we're all guilty. There's certain areas that we do certain things in because that's what we know. We either like or don't. We do's and don'ts. We do like this. We don't like that, and we'll let you know what we like and don't like. What does that tell us about us? Kind of a sad story. See, we've all been a little insane. We've all been operating in this mind that totally resists change and all it wants to do is preserve itself and what it thinks it is and what it thinks it needs and what it likes and does not like, what it approves of and does not approve of. We're going to stop judging people and by their behavior and the way they dress and the way they look and what color they are and wherever they come from and all that nonsense. I understood that. I heard a voice in saying, behold, every out of every tongue, tribe, kindred, nation, there's a people that's being delivered. Huh? Coming unto the knowledge of God. And they want to come. Listen, the people are waiting. We see the need. The people are waiting. They're waiting for God that is in you to be that redemptive principle to them. You have the ability, if you're attentive, to see what their need is. You may not understand it because you're prompted to do something, but you do what God gives you to do. That is the redemptive principle in operation. What is the point of a kinsman redeemer? To raise up the seed. That seed that I see in you, I come to raise it up. That seed I see in humanity, I come to raise it up. I come to raise up the Christ of God. I come to fill the Christ in the earth. I come to see the earth. I said, lo, just like He did. Lo, I come. Lo, I come. Lo, I come. I come to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is operating in my heart. Hallelujah. How, if thou seest a brother in need, and sheddest up thy bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in you? And I know that he was talking about on a lower level of meeting a physical need. But man, it goes deeper than that. The need of the people that are out there killing the other young people. Their need is acceptance. They have never been valued. No one took the time to include them in. Instead of going to Washington and go up against arms and protest and all this, that what they needed to have done before that ever happened was, I receive you. Come on in with us. We don't see where you're different. We see that you're the same. We see that you have the same needs that we do. You need to be accepted. And what we're going to find is that we begin to accept people where they are. And we begin to find that they need what you got. They begin to say, what did you say? They begin to look at you with a need. There's need all over them. They look at you. They're hungry. They need what you got. They need God. We're in a season of redemption. We're in a season of change. We're in a season where God wants to reach out unto humanity. If I was God, I'd close down all the churches. And I don't mean that against you, Oscar. You know that, or against us here, because I'm part of it, right? Here I am in the midst of you. Cut off my nose to spite my face or whatever? No, I doubt it. I'm just trying to make a point. See, and we've been in this place. We've been through the hoops. We've done what we needed to do. But God's saying there's something else that needs to take place. There's something much more. All of what we have, people are waiting. I heard the story, man. You said that Brother Tice, he would sit there in the mall just waiting to see when he could minister and pray for people. See, well, it's just like it, Sister Phyllis there. She's doing that not only for her, but she's doing it for everything that we do. Listen, everything that we do in God affects the whole thing. Me being here this morning affects you guys. You being who you are to me affects me. And what we're actually doing, we're coming together in agreement. Yes. Amen. We're coming together in agreement. And when we come in together in agreement, we come as one.
Yes. Amen.
With one mind, one heart, one accord. See, and that is supposed to work. Fulfill the law of Christ. What is that? Bear ye one another's burdens. And so complete this whole thing. You hear me? We've not. God is now giving us. We talked about the law and the grace. God is giving us the grace. Not because of works. No. But because of grace. See? But by his grace. And his grace is available in unlimited supply. In this day. And when we go from here, we go with the attitude, oh, wow. Wow, Father, what great love you have that you sent this Redeemer to show us what the redeeming principle would do. To such a degree that he would say, under such control of that law, he would say, I do nothing apart from him. But everything that he is within me is prompting me to do everything that I do. Do you hear it? Is he speaking to your heart? Is he speaking? You see, no wonder he could say, he that is greatest among you, let him be your servant. Because that's really what we want to do anyway. We want to serve one another, but because of our own inabilities, of whatever form they may take, we abort those processes. We abort that towards one another. We abort it towards others. Because one or two things, either we're maintaining our identity or we care what other people think about our identity. But God's going to do away with that. He's going to we're going to have a diminished capacity. Hallelujah. But on the other hand, God's waving. Waving at you. Are you going to wave back? Are you going to come into agreement with what he's saying? Are you going to allow him to be the love that he is in you and through you so that that redeeming principle will first work on me? When it's working in me, it will work out here. It will work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What time is it? Time to quit? I don't know. Oh, sorry. Okay, so... Okay, he says, I saw for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land. There you go. Want our land to change? Hallelujah. This land right here. This land out here. One's just a reflection of the other, you know. The old saying is, you get what you pay for. Don't sell yourself cheap. Okay, now we'll go to Isaiah 58, please. Hallelujah. Start at verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free? Is not this to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke? Everything that we come across is not by accident. Because if it was, we would be here by accident. How deep does this go? How deep do you want it to go? It will go as deep as we want it to. It will affect us to the totalness of who we think we are. It will change us. It will transform us. Because when you get in line with that law, that principle of redemption, you will simply become who you were supposed to be. That's why you showed up here, to become who you're supposed to be. And you're not just for you to realize that, but that others may see it. I have come that they might have life. How are they going to have it if they don't see it? How are they going to have it if they don't know nothing about it? And you don't have to tell them about it. You are just who you are. When you're walking in life, you're walking in that life. And you begin just doing the things. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that no man can do these things. Hallelujah. But we know about another man. No man can do these things except God be with him. God be present in him. God be there very much motivating him to be what he was called to be. We know that, but you know, we just don't quite get it. Well, you'll never get it on that level, Nicodemus, with all your learning. Being a leader in Israel and all those things, you still won't get it unless you're willing to give up a life for another life. Hallelujah. The Redeemer does something. He gives up his life. Are you ready for that? Do you really want that? Do you really want to give up your life? Or do you like it the way it is? Am I comfortable where I am? With who I am? With who other people think I am? If I am, I'm contained in my limited circle. I got my own circle of friends. You hear me? Oh my. Ding, 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 ding. Bells going off everywhere. We got our own circle of friends. We don't want to be around anybody that we don't particularly like. We deliberately avoid that area or these people or this thing or whatever it is. It don't matter what it is. But Jesus deliberately said, I must go. I must go and proclaim the kingdom. I must go to another city. And if there's another one, I'll go to that one too. It doesn't matter because I'm unlimited in where I can go and what God can do through me. Hallelujah. I'm available, Father. I'm available. I'm telling you this morning, I'm available to the Father to go wherever, to be that redeeming principle to anyone, at any time, at any place. It don't make no difference. Because we're finding out that the Redeemer does one thing. He gives up his life for another. So that that seed may come up. No death, no resurrection. Hallelujah. God is present. And he wants to bring a people to a realization of the value that he has in them. To be able to bring this living, vital expression of redeeming principle through them to others. Hallelujah. Serious? It's the most serious thing you've ever got a hold of. It's all encompassing. It includes everyone and everything. It includes all of what we are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, it says, I stopped in verse, six, that's it, 7. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bringest the poor that are cast out into thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou coverest him, and that thou hidest not thyself from thy own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as dawn. And there's a lot in there, and I'm not going to go over that, but the light shall break. Then shall thy light break forth. Let the light go forth. Stop putting the shades down. I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to be seen. I'll just put shades down. See, I don't care what's going on out there. I'm here. Hallelujah. He said, then thy light shall break forth as the morning, thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shall thou call, and the Lord shall answer thee. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and the speaking of vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light, he emphasizes that, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday sun. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be as a water garden, like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be among thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairers of the breach. Who's going to repair the breach? We are. We are. But we can't look somewhere else. You know, God uses everything. If we get stirred by certain things and want to do something about it, what we need to do is ask God, okay, relate more to him than that. relate more to Him. But you see, we have this propensity that we want to relate to more than we do Him. You know why? Because we don't want to take the time. But I see in Ephesians 5 where it talks about redeeming the time. Begin to act and feel like and know and understand that the Spirit of God is in you, and He begins to redeem everything about you into the concept and principle and purpose of what He has for us to bring to creation. He has it within you to bring redemption to creation. Accept it. Do you want it? Or do you want to go on just living your life the way that you have? Redemption costs something. That's why they keep showing up with a price. They gave 20 pieces of silver for Joseph. They gave 30 for Jesus. What are they going to give for you? Are you worth anything? Yeah, you are. You're of great value. We have undervalued ourselves, and we've not understood or appreciated who we are. And we're here at this time because of His direction and His purpose to help fulfill His plan. We're not here to fulfill our plan. We're here to fulfill His. But that law that is in our heart, if we just simply allow that law to be what it is within us, if we will allow, you know, in order for God to write His laws upon our hearts, He's going to have to be present. Here I am, Father. Write as much as you want. Why would you write it there, Father? So you won't forget it. Because I love you that much, I want to continually remind you about what I'm about and about who you are and how much you're a part of me and how much you're a part of me fulfilling my purpose and how much I will do if you'll just love me. Because if you'll love me, as you said, Rich, there's only two commandments, man, that summed it all up. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And the other is likened to it. Likened to it. Because really it's the same thing. If you love God, you love your neighbor. Let love operate. Let love set you free. Love will set you free. Love will bring you such a soundness of being and a completeness and a wholeness. And you say, well, then it will make you ask, well, then, how can I give this to someone else? How, Father, can I best convey this? And I don't keep looking out to see how I'm going to do that. I keep looking more in than I do out. And I'm more convinced by that which is within than I am that which is without. Hallelujah. That's all prayer is, really. It's just making that living, vital connection with the Father. And your Father that seeth in secret will reward you openly. Hallelujah. We've entered into the place. We've entered into the most holy place, don't you know? Don't you feel it? Don't you sense it? Don't you know what's in the most holy place? That there mercy seat. And you talked about it, love and mercy. And all those things, you see, the fulfillment of that, Rich, like we talked about. That's fulfilling of the law. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Love will keep working until everything is brought into what it is. Love never fails. Hallelujah. As for these other things, they will. Hallelujah. Put your bet on love. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We got it? Amen. So I'm going to close. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Appreciate it.